Hello, I am your host, Dr. Tan with Tana Ministries. Welcome to I Speak Life Inspirational Podcast, where we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, thank you for tuning in to this podcast. I pray that you are blessed and definitely encouraged. Good evening, good evening, good evening. Welcome to I Speak Life Podcast with your host, Dr. Tan. I wanted to just chime in tonight on September the 23rd to talk about the Lord is my shepherd. I want to talk about Psalms 23 on 9:23. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to take just a moment and just read through it, and I want to just spend a little time breaking it down for us to kind of digest so we can take this through the rest of our week to know that the Lord is our shepherd. And it reads from the King James Version, Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Thou comfort me. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That just lets me know when I read Psalms 23 that everything belongs to God, and it is up to us that everything belongs to him, and that we can depend on him to guide us, to take care of us. But we have to trust God and obey his commandments. And we have to try to live our life as righteously as possible. We have to try to do our best to live upright lives, to walk in the spirit, to allow God to guide us, so that we can have security in the fact to know that we have eternal life. But I wanted to go through and just talk about what it means, the shepherd and the sheep's relationship. And so, you know, this metaphor is used to describe God and his people. Because when you think about a sheep, the sheep and the shepherd is the person that protects, that provides, that guides the sheep. And so the shepherd is the person that oversees, and the sheep understand that whatever directive that the shepherd gives, that they must follow. And so I think about the scripture in John 10 and 27, when it says that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And so when I think about our relationship with Christ, our relationship with Christ, I think about how when it says that my sheep know my voice, and his voice is the word of God that we listen to on Sundays, on Wednesdays, or that when we read our Bible, his word is his voice. And a stranger we will not follow, which means that we will not resort to the tactics of the enemy. And so I wanted to talk about that because it is important to understand that the only way we can hear his voice is to be immersed in the word. The only way we can hear his voice is to be immersed in the word. We have to know what his word says to us about this journey called life. We have to know the promises of God. We have to know the commandments that he's given us so that we could have eternal life, so that we could prosper, so that we could do well in life, so we could have abundance and prosperity, peace and joy. We can have the hope of the Lord and the strength and the peace that surpasses all understanding. And so it is very important that we understand that when it says that my sheep hear my voice, that means that we know God is speaking to us because we know what his word says. So we have to be diligent in studying his word. We have to immerse ourselves in his word. We have to spend time with him. We have to sup with him, pray daily. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. So we have to develop a relationship, a routine. And I think about it in a sense because we have a routine for everything else. We have a routine of how we're going to get up in the morning to get ready for work, what we're going to do when we get to work. We have an agenda. When we get off, we have an agenda. On the weekends, we have an agenda. And so it's nothing wrong with having a concise and precise agenda for the to-do list of things that we need to get done within a day. But what we can't afford to do is to leave God out of our daily agenda. He has to be first and foremost in everything that we do. And so we have to make sure that we incorporate that time to spend with him so that we can know when he's speaking to us, so that we as his sheep can hear his voice in a strange we will not follow. And so I'm going to continue to go through Psalms 23, if you don't mind, for just a few minutes, because I think what is happening for us as a world, we got a whole lot of distractions that are coming to consume us. It's taking up our time. It's taking up mental space. It's clouding our judgment. It's causing confusion, division. And we want to make sure that regardless of what is happening around us, that we don't allow that spirit of division, negativity to get on the inside of us. We have to protect our heart. We have to protect our inner man. We have to protect our spirit man, because what happens is when we start to entrench ourselves with the cares of the world, then we step outside of what God has asked us to do as his sheep, and we began to take on the role of God. And so we cannot fathom how to deal with all the cares of the world. That's why it says in 1 Peter 5:7, to cast your cares unto me, and because he cares for you. And so we have to make sure that we are casting our cares onto him, because it's too heavy for us, but it's just right for him. And so it says, the Lord is my shepherd. And I want to talk about that, because when it tells you that the Lord is my shepherd, that signifies ownership. And when we talk about ownership, that lets us know that as the sheep, we belong to the shepherd. And in this case, we belong to God. It also shows relationship. And it shows relationship because Jesus died for our sins. And we know that because it talks about it in John 3:16, and it says that Jesus died for our sins so that we could have everlasting life. And then it also shows kinsmanship, which means that we are all God's children. So we have identified that the Lord is my shepherd shows ownership, it shows relationship and kinsmanship. And so when it talks about that, it just tells us, when it says the Lord is my shepherd, that we depend on him for provision, guidance, and protection. And so verse 2 goes on to tell us that he maketh me lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. And so when you think about green pastures, when you think about pastures and you think about the sheep, that means that he is providing provision for nourishment, to be able to feed, to nourishment for the body, food. And so when I think about the green pastures, I think about the nourishment being the word of God. We can chew and feed on that daily so that it builds us up, so that we increase our faith, so we build up our faith muscles, so that we can withstand the wiles of the devil, as Ephesians talks about, so that we could put on the whole armor of God, so that we won't be defeated in our mind, but that we will be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, Romans 8:37. And so what I think about is that we have to make sure that we're feeding on the word of God daily. We can't just feed on the word of God on Sunday and expect for that to be sufficient. We have to feed on the word of God daily. It has to be in our daily agenda. We have to incorporate it in our daily routine, so that the more we practice something, the better we become. So when we practice incorporating the word of God, it becomes second nature. You don't have to worry about it, because the word of God is in your heart, and you will be able to walk out your daily lives standing on the promises of God. And so when I think about the green pastures, I think about the nourishment. And when I think about the still waters, I think about refreshment. I think about rejuvenation. I think about rest. I think about calmness. I think about the peace of God, because still waters means that the water is still there, but it's still. It's not raging. It's still. And only the person that can have you to be in a situation, everything around you is going crazy, but it's like it's the stillness of God. The only person that can do that is God. Only God can give you the peace which surpasses all understanding, according to scripture. Only God can give you that. He says in John, I'll give you peace, but not as the world give it to you. Because guess what? The peace that the world gives you is temporary, but the peace of God is eternal. The peace of God is permanent. It doesn't matter what is happening. When God gives you the peace, that peace that only he can give you, you could be in the midst of some tumultuous times, but you will have a sense of peace regardless of what is happening around you, regardless what the report says, regardless of what the bill says, regardless of what is due, regardless of what the enemy is trying to do to you, regardless of who's talking about you, regardless of what is happening around you. Like I said, the peace of God will sustain you, and you will have a sense of calmness, because you know that God has got your back. I want to continue to go when we talk about verse 3. In Psalms 23, it talks about, it says, he restored my soul. Restoration. It talks about him leading us down the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We know that God wants the best for us. It talks about that in Jeremiah. It says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God already had a plan for our life. The things that we've done didn't take him by surprise. He's not shocked at how we respond or how we react. Everything about us is intricately made, because God has a purpose for our life. Everything, even the rough edges that we have, even the rough edges that God is working to smooth out for us, that all is a part of God's plan. He wants us to have nothing missing, nothing broken. He wants us to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. He wants us to be the lender and not the borrower. And so God has a perfect plan for us. But what we have to understand is that we have to follow his lead. And so for his name's sake means that he has the, we've heard it numerous of times when it talks about the pathway to heaven, the pathway to righteousness is narrow. But we know that the world's path is broad, is broad. But in order to get to where God wants us to be, it's a narrow path. And we have to have him to guide us and to lead us and to direct us every day, so that we don't falter and we don't fall off the path. Because every day the Bible says that we all have fallen short and sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God says that There's no temptation uncommon to man that he has not provided a way of escape. God has given us a way of escape. God has given us every provision we will need. God already know what our situations is. He know what our strongholds are. But he said that if you cry out to me, if you call out to me, that he will help us, that he will deliver us. Only God can do it. That he will take those strongholds and he will break them off of us, because God wants the best for us. And then when we go to verse 4, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, that comfort me. That's telling us, listen, nothing that we go through, even death, will God not be there with us? Nothing. He said he will never leave us nor forsake us. Nothing that we can go through, no dark times, nothing. He's always going to be there for us. We just have to allow him to be there for us. We have to put him first in our life. We have to step back. We have to humble ourselves before him. We have to understand that it's not about us. It's about his will, not ours. We have to deny ourselves daily, because it's so easy for us to want to be in control. But in actuality, none of us are in control. We might be grown, but we're not in control. God is in control of all things. And I know that what God allows, he takes care of. Sometimes God allows us to do things that we think is the best way, to show us that his way is the only way. Isaiah talks about it. It says in Isaiah 55, I believe it says that my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. The way God would handle it is not the way we would handle it, because he's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. He's all knowing, he's all powerful, and he's everywhere at the same time. We have a limited scope. We could only think about how to handle some based on our experiences and our knowledge. And that is limited. But God has unlimited knowledge. He has unlimited wisdom. And that's why we have to trust and lean and depend on him for all that we need and how to handle situations, because he knows how it's going to turn out. He knows what's best for us. He knows if we should say something or if we should not. He knows if we should walk away. He knows if we should go a different route. Only God knows that. And the only way we find out is after the fact, when we don't include God in the plan in the beginning. God has to be our initial response before we react. Pray first. That should be the reaction every time. Pray first. Because God always has the best way to handle a situation. And if you really think about it, if you think about it from this perspective, how many times have you responded in a way to a situation? And maybe you didn't pray about it first. You responded from emotions, because our emotions was get us in a lot of trouble. Our emotions tells us how we feel at that moment, not how we're going to feel after the fact. Because it is true that in the heat of the moment, our emotions are high. But after we didn't have some time to think about it, our emotions change. And so that's why it is always good not to react when your emotions are high. It's always good to respond to a situation when you've had time to think and to calm down. But how many times have we done it? Have we responded out of our emotions, only to see that maybe after we responded and we didn't have time to sit back and think about it, that we could have handled it different? And then think about the times that you prayed about it first and you didn't react from your emotions, and how peaceful and how peaceful you felt because the situation was handled and you didn't have to do anything but trust God to handle it. And so that is all a part of letting him lead us down his path of righteousness. It's not going to be easy. It's going to take denying ourselves daily. It's going to take praying to God daily for strength. It's going to take challenging ourselves to be better tomorrow than we were today. It's going to challenge us every day. We are all a continuous work in progress. None of us have arrived. Every day is a day of growth. It's a day to be better. Every day we can strive to move past certain things that are trying to hinder us and hold us back. Verse 5, it says he prepared a table in the presence of my enemies. And so that is important. You know, that symbolized to me that God is saying, he already told us that. He talks about it in Exodus 14. He says, I will fight your battles for you. You need only to be still. We don't have to fight the battle because God has already won the victory. He nailed everything. Jesus nailed everything to the cross. It's already done. We're already victorious. What we have to do is walk in the victory so it can manifest in the natural. It's already done. The devil is defeated. He can't win. But what he can do is get us to abort the mission that God has placed before us. That's already been predestined for us. He can get us to do that, but he can't win. And when we realize the power that we have on the inside of us, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that God has anointed us for such a time that we are mighty in the kingdom, that we have the power of God on the inside of us, that he's given us the power to tread over serpents and to cast the mountains into the sea. He's given us the authority over the enemy. We just have to use that power. And how do we use the power? Well, the problem is not so much about knowing that we have the power, it's knowing how to activate it and use it in our life. The problem is that we don't know how to do that because we're not immersing ourselves in the Word of God. And if we immerse ourselves in the Word of God, it teaches us how to war in the Spirit. It teaches us that we have the power that can tread over serpents. It teaches us that we can cast, whatever we pray and believe, that it can be done in his name. It teaches us that we can speak to our mountains and they be cast into the sea. It teaches us how to do that. It gives us the basic instructions before leaving earth, was what the acronym for Bible stands for. It teaches us everything we need for everyday situations, for whatever we're going through. There is a word in the Bible that gives us reassurance. It gives us firsthand accounts of things that happened and how God brought the people back in the biblical day through time and time again. And even if you look back over your life, you've been through some situations, you've had some circumstances to come up, and God has never left or forsake you. He brought you through too. And you see that he prepared a table for the presence of your enemies. In other words, he will make your enemies your footstool. Psalms 37 says to fret not yourself for evil doers, because in due time they're gonna be cut down. You don't have to worry about the enemy, what the enemy is doing. You don't have to focus on who's plotting behind your back. You don't have to worry about who's talking about you and smiling in your face, because God said he's gonna prepare a table in the presence of your enemy. In other words, they can't touch you, they can't stop you, they can't block you. And so what you have to do is to stay focused, because God says, I got you. If you stay on this path of righteousness, I'm going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. I'm going to let your enemies see that I have my hand on you, and it ain't nothing they can do with you. And then it says, he anointed our head with oil. You are anointed and you are appointed for such a time. And whatever capacity God wants you to uplift the kingdom for kingdom building, do that, because he's anointed and appointed you for such a time. He's anointed and appointed you for a purpose. You're not here by chance. God makes no mistakes. And so understand that everything that God does, it is good. And so when he made you with a purpose of mind for you. He has a purpose for your life and for you to do his will. And so if you follow the path and the plan, it doesn't matter how many people come against you, because Romans 8 and 31 says, if I be for you, I'm more than the world against you. And God says, it doesn't matter. You remember the battle of Gideon? All those men, and God kept cutting Gideon's army down. He had thousands of men. He's like, no, you got too many. Gideon said, what are you talking about? He just kept slicing the number. He got all the way down to 300 men. On the other side, they had all thousands of men. But the 300 men, it wasn't, the significance was to show that even with less, even if the only person on your team is God, even with less, you can still be better than the rest. That's what God is saying. You don't have to have all that in order to defeat the enemy. As long as I'm on your side, that's all you need. It's not about the number of people that you have in your corner. It's about the quality of people that you have on your corner. Are these people that are lifting you up? Are they encouraging you? Are they praying with you, for you? Are they standing in the gap? Are they believing God for you? Are they godly in nature? Are they speaking life and not death over you? It's the quality, not the quantity. And so we have to make sure that we understand that if God be for you, hey, he's more than the world against you. Your enemy can't stop you. And as we get to verse 6, and I'm not going to hold you too much longer, as we get to verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Hey, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. God is good, and he's good all the time. And his mercies are new every day. That's what Lamentations 3 and 23 tells us. His mercies are new every day. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. And so what I took from Psalms 23 on 9:23, what I took is that, well, we start reading Psalms 23. We understood the assignment. The assignment is we are God's sheep. We are the sheep. He's the shepherd. And as the sheep, we should know his voice. And how do we know his voice? It's by the word of God. And how do we know the word of God? By studying to show ourselves approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed. We got to study the word. We got to spend time with him in prayer. And it was interesting as I get ready to close, because as I was reading that first verse, it told us who we were in Christ. The Lord is our shepherd. Ownership. And then it went on to give us what he was going to do. It says he will make us lie down. He leads us. He guides us. He restores us. He comforts us. He prepares us. He anoints us. These are things that he does for us. And because he does those things for us, we shall not want. It says, I shall not want. Because he does these things for us, I will not fear no evil. Because he does these things for us, my cup will runneth over. Because he does these things for us, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because he does those things for me. Did you get that? Because he leads and he guides and he restores and he comforts and he maketh and he prepares and he anoints. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fret because my God hasn't failed us yet. Listen. I just want to thank you for tuning in tonight. And I want you to know that the Lord is your shepherd. You don't have to worry about the enemy. You don't have to worry about the troubles of the world. Cast your cares onto him because he cares for you. Let God guide you down the path of righteousness. Let God handle your trouble. Let him fight your battle. Psalms 46 and 10 tells us to be still and know that he is God. And if we be still and know that he is God, then he will take care of all those things that concerns us, that would allow us to lift the weight of worry, the allow us to get rid of doubt. We don't have to be concerned about the enemy and the tactics that he uses, because we know that the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. We shall not want anything. We should have provision, protection, and guidance. And so I pray that this message has blessed you tonight. I pray that God gives you the peace which surpasses all understanding, that he leads and guides you, that you immerse yourself in the word of God, that all week God shows himself mighty and strong on your behalf. My prayer is that you have nothing missing and nothing broken, that whatever concerns you, whatever heavy heart you got, that God rushes in and he gives you comfort, that God gives you the way of escape that is you need, that he has the ram in the bush that will help you in your situation, and that whatever that you are holding on to that you don't want to let it go and give it to God, because it's too big for you, but it's just right for him. We are more than conquerors through Christ, and he can do anything but fail. Is there anything too hard for God? I think not. I want to thank you again for tuning in to I Speak Life podcast with Dr. Tan. As always, be blessed and encouraged until we speak again. Good night. Thank you.